Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Pulitzer Prize-winning work of Art Cullen promises to impact agriculture practice and water quality in South Dakota for generations to come. Cullen is co-owner and editorial writer of the Storm Lake Times in Iowa. He presents A River Runs Toxic, A Warning from Iowa. That's Thursday, September 13th, 7 p.m. Central Time at Augustana University. That's free and open to the public. And Art Cullen joins us on the phone now for a preview. Art, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
And congratulations. This is the 2017 Pulitzer Prize in editorial writing. Tell us a little bit about how long this project really sort of, you were following it through.
Well, we've been following water quality in the Raccoon River complex since 1990, since my brother John founded this newspaper, twice-a-week newspaper in a county seat town of about 10 to 15,000 people. And we grow corn and soybeans here and process about 15,000 hogs a day at Tyson Fresh Meats. And there's also a Tyson turkey slaughter facility here. And so this is kind of agriculture center. And the Raccoon River has been infested with nitrates for many years. And ultimately, the Des Moines Water Works filed a lawsuit over agricultural pollution of surface waters in Buena Vista County, that's our county, and two adjacent counties. And so we wrote a series of editorials in 2016 that challenged the county's handling of the lawsuit. They were using funding from a dark money account funded by agribusiness to defend the lawsuit, and we demanded transparency. And we also demanded a mediation between agricultural and environmental interests over surface water and how we approach the landscape.
So you're twice weekly.
Long answer to a short question.
No, it's a great background for folks to get their mind around the big picture. And one of the first questions I wanted to ask you is, this is not only going against, going up against the county and the transparency, but also there's real serious issues about agribusiness itself, and that's the entire business of pretty much everyone who lives in this county.
Yes, I mean, this is sort of ground zero in the conflict between clean air, clean water, and healthy soil, and kind of the farming on a petrochemical base, which we've embraced in the last 40 years. And it's kind of all coming home to roost with a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico that is about the size of New Jersey and is destroying the shrimping industry in the Gulf so we can grow 200 bushel corn in Iowa and Illinois and to a lesser extent in South Dakota. And so we were calling that out, and it kind of threatened the entire ag supply chain. Because we plant with Roundup Ready soybeans and BT corn, and it's all tied up in the Monsanto, Cargill, Dow DuPont, Koch Brothers, oligopoly.
Some of the editorial writing is very direct and to the point. Some of it is really educating. At one point you're explaining to readers, why does it matter where the money is coming from, to pay the lawyers? And you lay it out. So it's part education, it's part indictment. How do you see your role, as an editorial writer to sort of keep the readers up to date on what you're doing, what's happening, but also why you're doing it?
Well, editorials, basically, what we try to do is assemble facts and then interpret those facts into some sort of direction. And when you see that the rivers in southwestern Minnesota, half of them are functionally dead, including the Rock River. The Big Sioux River has its own set of issues that I'm not familiar with. The Minnesota River Basin is essentially an aquatic dead zone. And so, it, the obvious demands comment. we have, in a period of climate change, we are farming more intensively than ever, and we're sending our basic resources down the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, and this can't last. We cannot sustain this. And we're seeing it come home to roost now with epic flooding in Cedar Rapids and Des Moines, and a debate over the health of the Big Sioux River, which of course is contributing to the Missouri, the Mississippi, and that dead zone.
One of the things I was really impressed with as I read through your work was the depth of knowledge and understanding of the issue itself. How long have you been, talk a little bit about that process and the importance of really understanding, multi-layers of science, how government works. Explain that a little bit.
Well, that's about 38 years worth newspapering. And as a city kid, I had to learn about agriculture, and so I've devoted myself to trying to learn about agriculture and trying to appreciate the farmer's perspective. And if you've been reporting on farmers and agriculture and small agribusiness and big agribusiness, as I have for the past four decades, you come to an appreciation that these guys have kind of been that 65-year-old farmer who's sort of the typical Iowa farmer has been backed into a corner. He has no choice but to grow corn and soybeans. So you come to those appreciations and that it's a lot more complicated than it would appear from both left and right, that, cattle aren't the problem. Hogs aren't necessarily the problem. Corn and soybeans aren't even the problem. The problem is, how do we approach the landscape and what can we sustain over the long term? And that requires a discussion that doesn't necessarily break down along party lines, although people would like it to be that simple.
And you don't get to throw up your hands and say, well, it's complicated. We get that a lot on the show. We'll ask questions and people say, well, it's complicated. Complicated doesn't mean that it doesn't need a solution or it doesn't need to be discussed.
Right. With an increasing world population and a decreasing amount of tillable acres in the world, we're losing it to climate, to development, et cetera. It seems to be one of the more urgent questions we face, and you could say that is the most urgent question we face when you view it through the context of climate change, where, Scotts Bluff, Nebraska is going to be a lot more like Amarillo, Texas, than Scott's Bluff, and that who knows what Rapid City is going to become in the next 20 years. And so these become very urgent questions as we look at the stability of the U.S. Food production system, much of which is based right here, in this tri-state area around Sioux Falls and Sioux City. And the question is going to become, what are we going to leave our children in 30 to 50 years in this area of accelerating soil loss, increasing rainfall, and decreasing crop production, which we're seeing already?
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Art Cullen, Pulitzer Prize winner for 2017 in editorial writing, and he's coming to South Dakota to give a presentation at Augustana University, and that's co-sponsored by the Friends of the Big Sioux River and the Augustana University Center for Western Studies. You can see him Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. at Augie. And Art, I'm wondering about some of the pushback you got as you were writing the editorials, as the pieces were appearing in the newspaper. What kind of reception was waiting for you?
I'm sorry, you cut out just on the first part of that question. I only heard the reception part.
Right. What kind of response were you getting as the editorials were coming out in the newspaper from readers, from agribusiness, from others?
Well, a lot of people, including members of the county board of supervisors, of course, accused us of being anti-farmer, even though my wife was reared on a farm near the Des Moines River, near Algona, Iowa, and that all my friends are farmers. And it's not about being anti-farmer. It's about being realistic about what's happening around us. And, for example, our our glacier-made lake, Storm Lake, a 3,000-acre lake, is Iowa's top walleye breedery, but it was being filled in by sediment. The lake was at one time had an average depth of 7 feet, and God made it 26 feet deep. And we were just willing to accept the fact that that lake will disappear from us eventually. And that's the kind of attitude we have in Iowa, and it's an attitude that has to change.
You argue that as people are talking about cost, that throwing money at the problem is not necessarily the solution. You say it will take judicious stewardship of what the good Lord gave us, something more than chasing another 10 bushels on a 200-bushel corn yield for a commodity that has declined in real value since the Civil War. Those are big words against corn.
Well, this is the best place in the world to grow corn, but we cannot sustain it. We've taken all our rolling land out of pasture and put it into corn production to feed a growing ethanol complex and hog complex. And at the same time, that soil is shipping into the Boyer River and to the Missouri River, to the Big Sioux River, as we plow up those rolling acres, and we plow up everything leading up to the rivers. Again, in southwestern Minnesota, and I'm sure eastern South Dakota, there are no riparian buffers. There is no required setback from any water bodies. I have photos of us planting soybeans into Iowa lakes, into the lake banks. So that's what is happening. But we're told that we can engineer our way out of it. But if you're already plowing into the riverbanks, a little bioswale downstream isn't going to help that much.
What is the road forward then after the research that you've done and studying the issue as you have? What are some of the things that do provide viable solutions, or is it, a lost cause?
Well, it's not a lost cause. In Iowa, anyway, our precious topsoil can regenerate itself at about a half a ton per acre per year. But here in Storm Lake, we're losing it at 2 tons per acre per year. We can stop that with judicious use and strategic use of cover crops, putting land back into pasture, and bringing cattle back to the landscape. And with climate change, I believe we won't be able to be raising cattle around Amarillo, Texas, and Dodge City, Kansas, even in northern Kansas, as the Ogallala Aquifer depletes. Those cattle have to return to South Dakota and Iowa, and they will. And that's the answer. The climate is going to force the answers upon us, and that answer involves less corn, more grass, more hooves on the landscape, and try and recreate what we saw when we discovered this land and took it away from the Indians, the Native Americans, a couple hundred years ago. So it really goes into looking into our past, how we can walk into the future sustainably.
And tell me then, before I let you go, what it was like. How did you find out that you had won the Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing? What's that moment like for you and your staff?
Well, I was watching it on a live stream on the Pulitzer.org website, and I had an inkling that we were going to win. Call me a mystic. but I tuned in for a reason. When they announced, there's 21 categories. We're number 18, editorial writing. And number 17 was Peggy Noonan from the Wall Street Journal, and they announced her name. And I said in my head, they're going to call my name next. And in fact, they did. And I shot out of my chair, and I screamed a vulgar epithet, and I hugged my brother John, our publisher, for the first time in our lives. And then a week later, I got offered a book deal. So I'll have a book that's going to be published October 2nd called Storm Lake, and I hope all your listeners buy a copy.
October 2nd this year?
Yes,
yeah,
it's
right.
Coming right up. And it's about all the themes we've discussed, including immigration, because we're a meatpacking town, about 90% of our elementary school is immigrant, mainly Latino. And that's another huge issue here that that all revolves around ethanol and hogs and corn. And so it's an interesting place, Storm Lake.
And I hope you will come back.
These Great Plains are changing very rapidly.
I hope you'll come back and talk to us again when that book is published about more that's in the book. And one of the things that strikes me so much about this particular Pulitzer is that it's not something that could have been written by anybody but you, or anybody who had been in the community for the number of years, had developed the knowledge and the courage and the insight that you had. It's a real testament to local journalism. So, Art Cullen, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
I hope you'll come back again.
I will. Thank you.
You can see Art Cullen in person at A River Runs Toxic, his presentation about a warning from Iowa. That's at Augustana University, Thursday, September 13th, 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public. It's at the Mickelson Auditorium in the Froiland Science Center on Augie's campus. We'll take a break. When we come back, we meet the candidates of the 2018 South Dakota election. Stace Nelson is with us. Stay in the moment on listener-supported SDPB Radio.